As Jude said, this morning's reading is from John 20, verses 19 to 23, and it's on 1089 in church Bibles if you have them. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Not many people who speak in church have a throne. We're all special, aren't we? I feel a little bit like I'm looking over the top, but I'm assured that you can see me. Well, as long as you can hear me, you don't really need to see me as well. So, first slide up, yeah. Last week, we heard Trevor. Cheers for Trevor. Speaking to us about Jesus' resurrection appearance on the Emmaus Road. It had been a busy day for Jesus. Firstly, he was raised from the dead, which would probably be enough for most of us in one day. Then he walked the 7 miles to Emmaus. But did he walk? He walked when he was in the company of the other disciples, we know, but his resurrection body seems to have had the ability to just appear in certain places. So maybe he didn't have to walk everywhere, which sounds rather nice. But we know that he broke bread with the disciples in Emmaus, at which they recognized him, and then they all returned to Jerusalem. And this is where we start today. It's only a short reading. I'm going to just read it again. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So, we've got this evening, quite late, on the first day of the week, the disciples being together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. It must have been quite late. And that room was full of fear. And Jesus wasn't fazed by the locked door. He appears to have just walked through it and come into this palpable fear and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That was a fairly standard greeting for those days, but I'm sure as Jesus spoke that word, those words, they came with an extra force, an extra meaning, an extra depth, an extra power. The word that we read in the Greek from the New Testament would have been the word irene, but Jesus would have spoken a Galilean dialect, probably of Aramaic, and the word he would have spoken would have been shalom. And shalom is a really all-encompassing peace. But we'll come back to that in a minute. The disciples weren't convinced that it was Jesus, not until they'd seen the wounds in his hands and his sides, made me wonder, why do they not recognise him? You know, the same with Trevor's, you know, on the Emmaus Road, they didn't recognise him. And I wondered whether it's something to do with what they believe they will see is what they see. But they didn't believe that Jesus had raised from the dead, therefore they didn't see him. But here, they saw his hand, the wounds in his hands, and they believed. And then having believed, they saw him. And isn't it like that for us? You know, once we believe in Jesus, we see him. Now, next week, this is a spoiler alert, Katie is going to be speaking to us about Thomas, doubting Thomas. But you just remember when she's speaking that these disciples needed to see the wounds in his hands and his sides as well before they believed. So if Katie singles Thomas out, you heckler, you say the others had to see as well, you know, and we'll just hope that she goes gently with dear Thomas, because we love Thomas. Sorry? You love Thomas. Sounds like Thomas will be in good hands then. So Jesus again speaks peace. And then he drops a seed of their future mission. He says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He is preparing them. And with that, he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in a moment. But then we have verse 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What a strange thing to say to the disciples. Does Jesus give us the power to forgive sins? I wasn't really very comfortable with that. This verse puzzled me for quite a while. And it was obviously a very significant verse. I mean, we've just got four verses here, and this takes up one of those verses. And it follows them receiving the Holy Spirit. So eventually, I referred to an old friend of mine. You see, we know that the scripture's very clear that we need to forgive people who sin against us. We have the power to forgive them for those sins. But how can we forgive people for the sins that they've committed against God? Don't know. So, this old friend of mine, very, very old friend, his name's Charles Spurgeon. Anyone heard of Charles Spurgeon? He was a minister, theologian in the 19th century. Well, have we got the next one up? Yes, well done. And this is what he had to say. Now, I don't know whether it just makes it more complicated rather than less, but we read it in the first service and nobody said, what on earth are you on about? So we'll try it. But this is Spurgeon. He said, as you proclaim my gospel, I will back up your message. So when you preach of pardoning blood, you preach of the forgiveness of sins, it shall be so, because he is backing it up. When you tell those who believe not that they are condemned already and that except they repent, they shall abide in condemnation and their sins shall be retained. The true minister of God speaketh not apart from the word of God. And when he speaks the word of God, the God of the word is himself there to make it effectual. It shall be no Bruton Foreman. Nobody knew what that meant in the first service. You all know what Bruton, you've all heard Bruton Foreman, haven't you? No? Ah, oh, well, basically it means no wasted thunderbolt. It means, you know, it's not a waste of words. It's not something that doesn't have power, not empty. So I was looking at this little video and it gave me a good picture of this. You've got God, the judge, in the courthouse, and you've got the person who's committed a sin or transgression in the little cell, jail cell. And in the courthouse, God declares, no, he's forgiven. So a messenger goes from the courthouse over to the prison, says, you're forgiven, and opens the door and lets them out. And that's what God, what we will be doing as messengers of God. We are conveying God's forgiveness. We are not actually forgiving them, but we are conveying God's forgiveness. So I want to go back and have a little look at the two things that I think are particularly relevant for us today, which are the receiving of peace and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh, Jo's good. She's one step ahead. I love it. So I've said we do have these two words here. We have the Greek eirene and we have the Hebrew shalom. Do you live in peace? Do you live in shalom? Manda lives in shalom because that's what her bungalow's called. Yeah. Shalom is a very all-encompassing sense of peace and wholeness and well-being, whereas Irene speaks more of the absence of conflict. We can receive shalom in spite of the conflict. Are you someone who has learned how to live in peace and who spreads peace wherever you go? If you'd been in the boat in the storm, would you have been asleep with Jesus or stressing with the disciples? I heard someone. Yeah, Amanda's. Yeah. Stress is a major issue in the 21st century. You know, so many doctor's appointments relate to stress and anxiety, fear. Nothing wrong to go with the doctor to receive help. But Dr. Jesus would love to breathe his peace into you today. You know, we saw how he came through the locked door into that room and he changed the whole atmosphere. Jesus can come through the locked door of your heart and change the atmosphere. He can come in and breathe his peace. Do you know, peace is mentioned 93 times in the New Testament. So it is important, you know, it's a very important part of the gospel message. It doesn't mean that we won't have any more problems, but it does mean that we learn how to let Jesus carry those problems whilst we live in peace. It's very easy to carry up and pick up and carry burdens that are not ours to carry. But Jesus died that we might live in peace. What's coming next? Oh, I know what's coming next. Not yet, though. And then the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It was for an equipping for ministry. Have you known the breath of Jesus filling you with the Holy Spirit? Not advocating that we necessarily all go off and be Pentecostals and happy clappers, but I am saying that in order to walk closely with Jesus and to be equipped to do his work, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was a 70s teenager. Ta-da! There I am in between my two brothers, taken in about, I don't know, sometime in the 70s. Let's think what when it would have been. Oh, I don't know. I could do the maths, but as we look at that picture on the left is my brother Mark, who, if you can't see, his T-shirt says "Physics is fun." He was at university doing physics. On the far right is my brother Ian. Now his T-shirt says LYC. Anybody got any ideas? LYC. You'll never guess. That's good, but do you know that particular brother was so allergic to cats that he ended up in hospital when we got a kitten? So, no, not for him. It stands for Lusaka Yacht Club because he lived in Africa and was into the yacht club. And then in the middle, there's Deborah, and her T-shirt says, "Jesus, one way." And I think that's really cool. I don't think we designed that. I think we just all ended up with the T-shirts of our passions. And this would have been taken. Have we got time? Let's tell a little story. This was taken shortly after I had had a really very real encounter with the risen Jesus. As a younger teenager, I think I was 17 here. Prior to that, I'd had really bad adolescent depression from the age of about 13, 14. I couldn't go to school. I was just really ill. And we'd reached the point that the doctors were saying I would have to go into hospital. And my mum was having this bit of a battle with them because she felt she didn't want to lose me to hospital. Anyway, I agreed to go and stay at a Christian riding centre, would you believe? Because horses, other than Jesus, were my love. While I was there, I had a really powerful encounter with Jesus and found a complete freedom from the depression and the illness, to the extent that when my mum came to pick me up after a few days, she said, "I knew I was picking up a new person." And I had to go to the psychiatrist a couple of days later, and she said, "And how are you, Deborah?" And often I would just sit there. Anyway, I said, "I'm really well, Dr. O'Brien. How are you?" And she did look a bit surprised. And she said, "Why? Why do you think this is?" And I said, "Because I believe Jesus has healed me." And I thought, she's either going to think, right, she's really lost it now, or she's going to go with it. Anyway, she called my mum in and she said, "Mrs. Brockbank, why do you think Deborah looks so..." And my mum just said, "Well, because I think, you know, she's been healed." Anyway, Dr. O'Brien was very gracious and helped me reduce all my medications, and that was that. Years later, I had a Christian GP, and he said to me, "Do you know what that psychiatrist wrote in your notes?" And I said, "No." And he said, "This is what she said. This person's healing can be attributed to nothing other than the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, and I take no credit for it." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Anyway, I really wasn't intending to go there. But being a 70s young Christian, there was a book that was doing its rounds in the 70s. Called 9 o'clock in the Morning. Anybody heard of 9 o'clock in the Morning? Yeah, various people have. 9 o'clock in the Morning refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Anyway, in the foreword of this book, which was written by a lovely Christian leader called David Watson. These come in one by one, don't they? That was clever. "The marks of the Spirit's presence have always been the same," he says. That's it. So, the first one, a new reality of God. A love for Jesus Christ. A hunger for the Scriptures. spontaneous joy and praise and witness, and generous giving. And I felt that they were very sound. Well, I mean, you know, he was a bit of a mature Christian. But in terms of being marks of the Spirit's presence, we can measure our lives, you know. How much do we live in this sense of the reality of God? You know, how much has our faith become something of the past and isn't something that is now and is alive? Our love for Jesus, you know, do we really love Jesus? How devoted? Hunger for the scriptures, you know, are the scriptures full of living words that like jump off the page and enter your heart? Spontaneous joy, yeah, perhaps not very good at that one. And praise and witness and generous giving. These are significant signs of the Spirit's presence. And when Jesus breathed the power of the Holy Spirit into these disciples' lives, they would have found these things stirring in their souls. So, to the resurrection Jesus, giving his disciples peace and the Holy Spirit were both really important. Do we this morning want to receive from the resurrected Jesus as he stands amongst us? To receive peace and to receive the Holy Spirit. Who's on coffee this morning, drinks? Liz. Now, Liz, would you be offended if the queue for people wanting to receive prayer was a bit longer than the coffee queue? Would that be okay with you? Yeah, well, yes. But, you know, we do believe in the miraculous, yeah. Because there will be the opportunity to receive prayer, to receive peace, and to receive the Holy Spirit. What things are robbing your peace? You know, the anxieties that niggle away, things in the family, things with the children, things, you know, in the world, so much that can rob us of our peace. And the opportunity to receive these things will be through prayer at the back, but you don't have to go to the back. You can receive right now. Let's pray together. If you're comfortable, just hold your hands out in a gesture of receiving. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can look back to these scriptures and find truths that are for us today. Truths that are for us on the 14th of April, 2024, when you walk through that door and you say, peace be with you, and you breathe the Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we just want to receive your peace now, and we just want to receive the breath of your Holy Spirit deep into our own hearts and spirits, that we might be effective servants of you. In Jesus' name, amen.